Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast. There is no knowledge tonight. But we don't have the knowledge, but we have the gun show. We have the power. We have the strength. We don't need the tactical nash because Adam Sampson joins us in the studio. And the glowing, the glorious, the sunshine himself, the guest is in the building, Julian Fearn. Not only are these two in the building, what a show we have for you, because we're going to be talking about the game on the weekend, that disappointing defeat to Morecambe 1-0. Morecambe were languishing at the bottom of League 2. Well, they beat Orient, what turned into a trap game there. But we are joined by John Sitton, former Leighton Orient co-manager. Really looking forward to having him on, seeing what he makes of the team so far. And it is FA Cup round one on the weekend, my favourite competition, the FA Cup. The magic is certainly not lost, and it's certainly not lost for Maldon and Tiptree, who Leighton Orient play on the weekend for the first time in their history, reaching round one. And what a delight to say we are joined by Eliza Garty, superfan and daughter of the chairman of Maldon and Tiptree, to give us her thoughts on the game on the weekend and what a brilliant season Maldon and Tiptree are having there. We're going to be doing Leighton Orient's FA Cup history at half seven, that's definitely not going to happen because it's already gone, because it is 8:05. But if you've tuned in, you're thinking, what? No Brendan, no knowledge. Well, don't worry, because of course Leighton Orient are in action tonight. They're taking on Adam Brighton under-23s or under-21s?
Under-23s.
Under-23s, there you go, in the leasing.com, Midwood/Carabao/.gov, Worthington.com.uk.eu trophy tonight. And what an important game that is. But Brendan is there, he's working. We're going to be talking all about that. But what do you think? Let us know. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us. 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on that same number and we will get through your question tonight. Put one to John, put one to Eliza. What do you want to know more about Maldon and Tiptree and that huge game on the weekend? But we have to talk about the weekend just gone, because it was Morecambe, it was 1-0, and it was very, very disappointing. Cole Fletcher still searching for that win. That's why I'm going slower now, Julian, because it's all gone downhill and the demise has... No, of course the demise hasn't begun, but it was a disappointing game, wasn't it?
That was some intro, by the way.
Thank you, mate.
It's good. One breath as well. I like that. That's good.
I've only been here 4 months. Hello.
Listen, it's been disappointing 3 games, full stop. It's the first time we was talking about it before the show and sort of over the last sort of 7 days or so. I think for us, we would expect this new manager bounce, and we may talk about it a little bit later, but... How can you go away to a team that is languishing, in the bottom of the league, just lost their manager, has been there or been at the club nearly 8 years, actually not got some superstars in that side, been struggling for a while, not just this season, and go and lose? And be so negative as well.
And it was their first game with that long-term manager, long-serving Jim Bentley there. Adam, I know it's easy to say now, but kind of felt it before as well when we were talking about it last week. It became a trap game, didn't it, against Morecambe?
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, I would point you to last week's episode when I predicted a loss for
the
O's.
Hey.
Prediction league.
We need to get a little prediction table, don't we? I think, Julian, should we start one of them?
I think I'm up there.
Sounds good.
Really enthusiastic, because we know what your predictions are like.
3-0 win, that should have been.
So Morecambe obviously started bottom of the league. And by all accounts, we were very, very negative to start with, which is strange considering they're letting more goals than I think anyone else in the whole league. So new managers as well, inexperienced managers, you think we'd really go out there and attack. We are missing a lot of strikers. Wilkinson come back, was on the bench, came on and was taken off about 10 minutes later with an injury. So we didn't have all the strikers in the world, but I think we were camped in our own half. first half. We actually had more possession and we made a lot more passes, but I think that's mainly sideways passes, just not an attacking mood moves. I think Harold got the ball up front and was pretty much on his own in their half, and I think the reaction on Twitter afterwards said it all, where people were joking about some of the tactics to the point where, you know, if you don't laugh, you cry. But yeah, losing 1-0 away at Morecambe without scoring a goal against the worst defence in the league is pretty much a shambles.
But if you talk about, so we've got some lack of strikers, and I appreciate that, but we've got some good forward-thinking players.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, even if we went to that last 25, 30 minutes of the game the week before where we wasn't quite sure what our shape was, we had more midfielders on there than we did anything else. But reality is, they're all forward-thinking players. It just seems like the soul's been kicked out of them for some reason. And we expect this manager, new manager bounce, and it has, but it's gone the wrong way. And there is something definitely wrong that it's coming across into the stand. It's the first time on Twitter I've seen some of the people who are very, very pro-Orient, don't speak out of turn, but reality is that they're all sort of, not turning, that's a bit strong statement, but they're all being fairly, fairly vocal in, this is not something quite right. There's a fit, the field around the
Why
club.
Why haven't you told him about the 10-game yardage marker?
No, I just get talking about, I'm trying to get hold of Ollie, Ian Holloway, so make sure, what is he going to do in the end of December? He may be down the O's. You know, yeah, 10 weeks, all jokes aside, but reality is, the last three have been atrocious. And if you was going into any new club, 3 weeks in, at least you'd do something. At least you'd be putting your stamp on there. And the fans should be seeing what you want to play. It's the type of football you want to play.
If the appointment was made quicker, I think it wouldn't be maybe so much of a problem, because Ross had quite a good end to his stint before Cole took over. Now, this stretch under Cole, it has been 3 games. It is a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, but it has been 3 games and it's not going so well. But you mentioned Orient have got forward-thinking players. Adam mentions the possession. Had the possession, had the lion's share, 2 shots on target, Adam. Not good enough, is it?
Yeah, and I think those were only in the last minute or so. I think I think we almost scored, but by the sounds of it, it probably would have been lucky to get a point out of that game. And yeah, I think we've struggled. We even struggled last year, to be completely honest, in creating decent chances. Sometimes we'd have all the ball and we'd have it in good areas, but that final pass just wouldn't be there. And I always pull it down to, and still do, to be honest with you, is our midfield isn't creative enough. I don't think we've got some forward thinking players who are, for this level, exciting, pacey, got a lot of good attributes, but if you've got players behind them in midfield who aren't picking that ball out or able to just make that moment of magic in a game like away at Morecambe in the 88th minute, where you just need a pass to cut the defenders in two and give it to the striker, we just struggle for ideas. And I mean, obviously, you hope that Fletcher will see that. I think from reports of when he was at Plymouth, he was very defensive-minded and wanted to cut the goals out, which, you know, is admirable.
He had to, though, didn't he, in the position they were in?
He did. We'll
be there soon.
Yeah, I mean, when he took over, we've let in some shocking goals this season. But at the same time, I think, you know, Orient fans would rather lose 4-3 than 1-0 away from Morecambe. You need to be a bit more proactive. You need to be a bit more positive. And if you throw in 10 men behind the ball at the bottom team, you ain't going to win many fans, I don't think.
Yeah, you're completely right, Adam. But Julian, if you carry on with that pessimistic attitude, we'll start calling you the pest rather than the guest. Let's talk about, though, because obviously social media spreads like wildfire. Julian, you yourself mentioned 10 games is the perfect yardage marker to measure Cole Fletcher's start as a boss. 3 games in, people already worried. Those concerns have started to creep further and further in. And now, would we say that the majority of Orient fans are worried? Because this word keeps being labelled about, and I keep seeing it, and the word that always comes after Cole Fletcher is underwhelming. Now, I don't know, it feels like a little bit unfair because it has been 3 games. Is it all underwhelming though, Julian?
I think you talked about underwhelming. I think there's a lot of people who, when his appointment was made, was underwhelmed. But everyone goes, you know what, give the guy a chance. And you'd think,
are they still giving him that chance?
Just listen to me out here. 3 games in, you would expect to see something, yeah? What we're seeing is negative, not positive. So from tonight, the FA Cup game on Sunday, and then our next league game, I think it's next week. If we're not seeing anything change, that's 6 games. There's a worry. I think the whole yardage about give someone the opportunity. And we sit on here, and I actually believe in giving the younger manager an opportunity. But he has to do something. We can't allow the team to start to go into free fall, and he'd be finding it very difficult to pick it up and move it forward.
I think it would have been you know, absolutely fine if we've had the same results, but people heard from him what they want to hear. And he came out after the games and said, that wasn't good enough. We need to sort this out. And like I said last week, I think he's on nervy ground because he wasn't really well liked as an appointment, I don't think. So he's got to win the fans over. He's got to win their respect. He's got to get the fans to buy into what he wants to do at the club. And so far, every post-match interview is full of cliches. He's sort of ummed and ahed. He hasn't given much of an answer. And as us as fans, we don't know what his philosophy is. We don't really know how he feels about the results. He's given media stock answers, like I say, cliches. And I mean, it's not necessarily a fair comparison, but I went back and watched Justin Edinburgh's first interview after we lost at Solihull Moors, and you could tell he was fuming. His first words were bitterly disappointed at that result. We lost 1-0. That's not good enough. We weren't aggressive enough. And although it's different person, different manager, different styles, you almost sort of want him to just be honest and come out and say, you know what, we lost 1-0. That's on me. That ain't good enough. Next week, you'll see an improvement. But there's nothing in any of his interviews to make me think that he's got any sort of ideas to improve that.
Well, ultimately, it's results that matter, it's the points that matter, and the performances on the pitch. But how much does it matter that when you watch these press conferences or these media conferences, that he doesn't inspire that confidence, that he is full of cliches, and, you know, there's not maybe honest and transparency, that, you know, he's not coming out and berating the players. Maybe he feels like, Julian, I don't want to annoy him. I'm 3 games in. If I start saying they're no good enough, and do I already lose them when I'm still trying to win them on side? How much do you read into this and go, this doesn't bode well for me? How big a part does watching conferences like this play?
I think it's just the way you say it, you know, so you don't have to sit there and take players and ball them out and point the finger. You say we instead of they, so that will help. It feels like you need the man at the helm of the ship with both his eyes open, yeah, and I feel that we've got a ship being driven by someone who's got their eyes closed or looking the other way, and we need to change it very, very quickly, because it's just as Adam said, the way he speaks, how he speaks, the terms he uses, they're not inspiring. Even in defeat, good managers are inspiring, where you sit there and go, you know what, next week's the week, the one we're going to go out there, we're going to go and smash whoever we're playing. I don't feel that. I've never felt that in the last 3 games. With Ross, give Ross his due, he'll come out and he'll be very, very positive. And you go, you know, where you go, okay, you feel like you're putting a virtual arm around your shoulder. All right, mate, yeah, next week we'll do it together. And I just I'm not feeling that as a fan.
I think it is worth saying, though, and I was against the appointment. I guess I thought we should have got some more experience. But it is 3 games. And I'm been a bit surprised at the vitriol. You know, I'm not one to mince my words about managers or things wrong with the club, as many
really?
People know. Yeah, but I mean, even me, I think it's way too early. I mean, I don't even remember this much vitriol in the Bichetti era. We went through basically a manager a week, and I think even they got more than 3 games. And I think there's no way any manager in the world is going to be able to implement his style on a League Two team in 3 games. Yes, he needs to improve the media stuff, which potentially could be a quick fix. Give him some training. I think the club cannot not have noticed what's going on social media and try to sort that out and add a word. But we definitely need to, like I say, 10 games, whatever it is, Julian, we need to give him a chance, because I think he's got the season. I can't see him going unless we really, really free-for-all when we end up in the bottom two. But, you know, 3 games isn't long enough. I personally don't think he's the man long-term, but you've actually just got to give him a chance, I think.
Three games, appreciate that, but the run was on before. The same players are still the same players playing now. He's virtually playing the same starting 11. It's gone downhill, and that's the bit where, for me as a fan, I want to see him come out and take it on the chin and move it forward. That's all we're asking. And guess what? If he's leading us well, the fans are with him. And as you said, at the moment, I don't feel the fans are with him. He needs to win the club over. And then guess what? That comes with that. We'll be vocal. And then that brings the whole community forward. And we move us on. At the moment, I feel that we've been led astray by something which is not positive.
Well, the debate rages on. The fans are being vocal. They're being vocal as well, not just in the studio, but they're being vocal on social media. And what do you make of it? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. A man who may know a little bit more, and because he was the co-manager of Leyton Orient, is John Sitton, and guess what, he joins us next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, Julian Fern, the guest, and the gun show, Adam Sampson. We were just talking about the disappointing 1-0 defeat to Morecambe on the weekend, who were bottom in the table, the game becoming a trap game there. And what a show we have for you, because later on, we will be talking about the FA Cup, the first round in the FA Cup, Orient taking on Maldon and Tiptree. We'll be joined by Eliza Garty to talk about that one. But someone else who is joining us now, and what a delight he is, a real pleasure for us, John Sitton, former Leyton Orient co-manager, and they are very well placed to talk about the season so far. We're talking about Cole Fletcher and the free game start he's had. Well, John will know a little bit more about that. John, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your time. I know you're busy this evening. It hasn't been the best run of form in the last few games. What did you make of Cole Fletcher's appointment and the run he's on at the minute?
Bit of an unknown quantity, if I'm honest. I know he's had a job before, but you know, maybe I'd do, if I was probably anything to do with appointing it, I'd do something a little bit significantly different, because I think you've got to, talking from experience, you've got to know what you're getting into.
When you say significantly different, John, can you elaborate a little bit on that? Where would you have gone different? How would you have gone about it?
Listen, I don't want to sound disrespectful or crass or angry or bitter, but it's once bitten, twice shy. If you know, anyone wants to tap into what I've got to bring to the table, they've got to pay for it. But suffice to say, I think, you know, in terms of structuring the club, etc., I'd do things slightly different. With regards to the start he's had, I mean, like, you look at it, you think, wow, the first one, the 4-0, that was amazing. But then they got a clump by the same scoreline, and then the other one Saturday, and I think one draw, and then another defeat Saturday, wasn't it, at Morecambe? Yeah, so slightly below average. But like everybody else, in terms of management, coaching, he's got to be given time to implement his ideas. Otherwise, there's no point. I mean, I'm a believer... more in, obviously you want to play entertaining football, but you want to be tight and not give things away. I'm more a believer in grinding out on a consistent basis rather than the new manager bounce, which seems to be going around for quite a while now in terms of, you know, a few clubs. Not saying Neo's are guilty of that, by no stretch of the imagination, but If you're gonna look for something like that, as in a new appointment, because the other guy stepped down, Ross Embwood stepped down, then you're looking for you know, a big sort of bounce in terms of like the first couple of 3, 4, 5 results to get off and running. If that's not the case, you're better off leaving it as it was, staying as you are, and like I say, you know, grinding out consistency rather than looking for the bounce every 6 months.
John, hi. As fans, we are very fickle, as you know, from your career at the Orient and around that.
I think you're not exclusive. Don't worry.
Yeah,
you're not
exclusive. We know that. We know that, John. I think my personal worry. You know, I've been supporting the O's for years, watching you play and manage, and it feels to me it's something not quite right. And I think we as fans, you mentioned that the new manager bounce, you know, you want to see a change straight away from a new manager. I think the expectation is very high for that to happen, and it does happen. And I think it's probably more out of luck than judgment, sort of, when a manager comes in and tries to change things. I think for me personally, I'm just interested whether you can sort of point this in the right direction, is that as a player in the changing room when a new manager comes in, what's the feeling around? Is it to impress, or does the player sit there and going, I'm used to the old gaffer and I know how he works, I know how to play him, so this is going to be a bit of a pain in the backside?
I can only speak from a personal point of view, and whenever there's a change, what you're looking, you're looking at yourself, you're looking at your own performances and the way you train, and you're looking to keep yourself in the side, you're looking to impress. I never really experienced it at the O's, other than the fact that Frank Clark, who wasn't really a coach, I'll go to the extent where, to the extreme where I'd say he couldn't coach. And some people thought he was a good man manager, although I'll be addressing things slightly differently when I bring out a second book. But in answer to your question, that's how I'd feel from the off. I'd want to impress him. What he'd done, Clark, he bought in Brian Eastick. who was assistant manager and first team coach. He was actually the major reason, I would say, apart from a fantastic set of players who had good camaraderie and ability and stuck together. And, you know, I would say Brian was the major reason why we got promoted 88, 89. But you're quite right what you say. You're looking, players looking to impress, but at the same time, the manager would have need to have done his own work on what he's getting into, and then very, very quickly he's got to find out whether the people around him who might have stayed on at the club, whether they're worth keeping or not. And like I say, you know, I don't know the guy. I've got no axe to grind. And at the same time, I've got no reason to be particularly supportive. But I would say, you know, he needs to be given time to implement his ideas and changes. If not, you know, better off than when Ross was running it. But I couldn't quite make that situation out. And like you say, there's a little bit of a whiff coming off of the pond, shall we say.
So I guess we talked earlier about fickle fans, John. And from a player's point of view, is it similar with players? How long does it take you as players to work out a manager and actually go, this guy ain't going to work here, for whether he's just not a fit for the club, or he's not a good coach, or he just clashes with the players? How long do players give managers when they come in to actually give them a chance? Is it instantly, or is it, you know, just give them a season as well to implement these ideas?
Well, I'll be honest, again, I can only talk from personal experience and personal attitude. You know, I would always, in terms of the managers I played under, particularly at the O's like Frank Clark, I'd always give them the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that after 4 years in the bottom division, I was a major factor in keeping him in his job. Because, it was the club was rotten to the core, is the truth being told, in terms of professionals and players with their own agendas. Coaching-wise, within a week, you know, a player will know if the guy can coach, whether he knows what he's doing. They might not agree with the game plan, like a lot of people didn't agree with Brian Eastick. I wasn't one of them. I was the one that steadied the ship, one of the ones that steadied the ship. And they said, you know, I said to just calm down, give it a chance. You've got to worry about whether we're going to get results out of it, not on whether it's aesthetically pleasing. I think coaching-wise, they'll know straight away whether he knows what he's talking about. Management-wise, I mean, sometimes you get good chemistry, sometimes you don't. But when I didn't, I just knuckled down and made sure I was in the side and took care of myself. If every player does that, then you shouldn't have too much of a problem. But players can be as fickle as some supporters.
Yeah, I think you're right there, John. Just, we've got the FA Cup starting this weekend, so I'm just interested from a player's perspective and a manager as well. You can look at both sides of that. As going into an FA Cup round, playing a non-league team at home, do you set up differently? Is the mentality different? Are you up for it? Or is it a game where you think you're going to walk over? What does a manager have to do to get that team to go out there and perform and make sure we don't come out of the first round looking back at ourselves laughing?
Well, if the truth be told, I saw later on at Dover last year, and I wasn't impressed by any way, shape or form with the standard, with all the utmost respect. And Orient ran out 3-0 winners. So in terms of that, it wasn't so long ago that Orient were, you know, unfortunately, a non-league club due to circumstances themselves. What you've got to do is you've got to try a combination of things. Where the players are concerned, they've got to be relaxed because they're an eyed into nothing. So as a league side, they'll be expected to win, which, believe it or not, I experienced it similar to myself away to Tiverton Town. Contrary to popular belief, we had a fantastic feel-good factor for quite a while around the camp, and the build-up to that game that week was one of them. So you've got to help the players relax and so they can express themselves, particularly given liberty of thought in the final third. But at the same time, you've got to be very, very professional and make sure the fact that you train every day and you've got a chance to organise every day, that should come out within the 90 minutes. That would be the way I would approach it myself, you know what I mean? Because by rights, Leighton Orient should be at least just one level above. And they've just got to make sure their attitude's absolutely spot on. I would go for being very, very positive from the off, getting pushed back, and play as much of the first part of the game in the opposition's half as I could.
Yeah.
You know, depend on the strategy, pattern of play, etc. But, you know, the flip side of that coin is they'll want to get at you and or keep it tight. So they'll either sort of slow it down and play percentage stuff and make turn the game a little bit ugly and not very nice to look at. And the longer they keep a clean sheet, the better. And then, you know, that makes for a sort of a nervous period if they get a set piece or something like that when you're defending, or if they have a couple of breakaway attacks. But so that's what I'll be looking to do. Positive front foot. Right from the off, play as much of the game as you can in their off. Where the players are concerned, they've got to try and relax, but at the same time be steely and disciplined.
Yeah, well, we completely agree, John. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time tonight. It was a real pleasure to have you on and to hear your insight. Hopefully we'll get you on at a later date, John, in the season and see if it does turn around.
No worries, mate. You're very, very welcome, and all the best Saturday.
Cheers, John. Cheers, John. Appreciate you. John sitting there, former Leighton Orient co-manager. Really good to have him on the show. And also, as it is a packed show tonight, Orient, we said they were in action. Me and Adam got it wrong. I'm going to blame him because it is the Brighton under-21s, and they have taken the lead. Danny Cashman scoring the goal there, the 33rd minute. Leighton Orient losing again at home. Brighton 1-0 up. Well, our man is at the game, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher. What has he made of that first half? We can speak to him live at the game next.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast, Julian Fern, the guest, Adam Sampson, the gun show. We are missing our chief in command, the knowledge, Brendan Pitcher. But he's joined us. He is on the line because he is at the game. Leighton Orient are playing Brighton under-21s in the Carabao Milk Littlewoods Worthington.com/leasing.com trophy.
And Brendan, it's live.
Brendan, the game is live. Leighton Orient are 1-0 down. You're there. How is it going?
I mean, it's not ideal so far.
Cheers, we picked Brendan. You up, then. We picked you up. You come back with that.
It's quite cold. We're losing to an under-23s team. We've played some nice stuff at times. Jordan Maguire, Drews look bright. But Hector Cipriano making his debut looked pretty decent. But, yeah, not really testing their keeper enough. And Brighton look a decent side, to be fair. All nice, pretty touches, good football. So, yeah, not great so far.
Brendan, help us out, because we've christened you the knowledge. And on Sky telling us it's Brighton under-21s, you just said under-23s, mate. What's happening? I thought you was on the payroll.
Technically, it's their under-23s, but it's actually their under-21s because
they can't be
their
bothered.
Under-23s at the minute is out on... Oh, I think most of their under-23s was out on loan, so...
Well, there you go. I knew you'd have the answer,
Haven't
Brendan.
They got Button in goals, about 40 years old?
Yeah, former Orient keeper David Button, who is, about 30, is in goal, which is... Great, yeah.
Just to let you know as well, the studio is very warm. We've got a lovely temperature here.
Pizzas as well. Yeah. I can't believe
that. Never heard that before. Yeah. The question on everyone's lips.
Pass that champagne, Ed.
That was the question. What's Cole been like in the dugout? Has he been the same sort of reserve? What's the reception been like for him? Any comments you've heard?
I haven't heard anything so far, but time. There's not really any Fletcher out chance yet, I don't think, no.
Adam, as someone, you know, you're in charge of the media, you work there. Brendan, we're talking about the social media, how it can spread like wildfire and the appointment that's been made. I know you're disappointed in the reaction you've heard online and so far. What have you made of all of this?
I think it's a bit embarrassing, really. I think he's had 3 games in charge. It's not been ideal, but those 2 of those games you can almost write off because of the amount of time he had to work with the squad. That was a long midweek trip and then not much time to work after that. But then the Morecambe game, I guess you can judge him on. And yeah, it wasn't an ideal result, but it's going to take time to implement his ideas, I think. It's not going to happen overnight. You've got to trust in the process, and it's difficult because you've got to trust in an experienced manager who had a ropey kind of spell in charge of Plymouth. But he's learnt from that, and I think fans need to be a little bit more patient and some of the things I've seen on Twitter in the last few days.
Do you think if, obviously, if the result stays the same tonight and obviously the game, big game on Saturday, Sunday, against Maldon, if we were potentially to slip up then, do you reckon that potentially anything could happen, or is he there for the... I don't think
anything, not until Christmas, probably, at least, at the very earliest, when questions can start getting asked. But yeah, it's going to make it difficult if we don't beat... I think Sunday's the big one, really. If we slip up there, then maybe there'll be a problem. But yeah, I can't see anything happening like that in the recent times.
Mate, just as a quickie from me. So I think the last home game you struggled to get down to his interview. Is there an opportunity you can get down there tonight and do a nice bit for the radio show, and also try to sort of judge how he is, really, because I think sort of it'd be great to get your feedback, because as you're quite a level-headed young man, and it'd be nice to sort of get some feedback that way.
Yeah, I'm doing the match report tonight, so going to try and get that out. Yeah, well, I'm going to try and get that out quickly as possible.
Well, I could do that for you. Orient lost, didn't play very good football, and bring on the FA Cup first round on Sunday.
But yeah, depending on how quick I can get it out and sorted, I should
type
be able
faster,
to make
young man. Type faster.
Yeah.
Brendan, ignore him. You are sorely missed this evening. We look forward to having you back in the studio. Hopefully the second half is a better affair for everyone involved. Brendan Pitcher there, the knowledge. Brendan, thank you so much.
Ching, ching.
Let's quickly talk. Yeah, lovely, lovely bottle that is, Julian. You've been very kind of you. Let's talk now about the FA Cup, because it is back. FA Cup round one on the weekend, this Sunday. Nothing excites me more than round one. Really enjoy it. Leighton Orient, you have to say, this is a great chance. No disrespect to Maldon Tiptree. A great chance for Orient to get into round two. But Maldon Tiptree having a flying start to the season. And let's talk a little bit about Orient's history since the turn of, since 2000, their history in the FA Cup. Reached round one 6 times, round two 5 times, round three 4 times, round four times, and obviously round five once.
Who's that against, Ed?
I remember we beat someone, didn't we? 1-0?
Yeah. No, 1-0. Arsenal.
Did you go through? No, why there's no round six. So that's your history. We played the kids
on the replay, so yeah? Just help you out.
Even Nicholas Benter scored his own hat-trick, I think. That's right.
Never thought you'd stoop so low, Julian. We're talking about the O's history in the FA Cup, and now this is a great chance. The FA Cup's back. You started in round one, which is really nice as well, obviously being back in League Two this year. Adam, what are you thinking on this one?
It's a difficult one, because if you look at Maldon, they've won every single game they've played season. League and Cup, they've only played eight league games, I think, because the cup starts so early down there. It's hard to judge, obviously, the quality of the opposition they're up against, but it will definitely be a tough one. And as everyone knows, the FA Cup, it brings out performances in teams where you'd never expect a team like that to come down to beat Orient. But in an FA Cup, anything can happen, and especially, obviously, with our form in the drain at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if we got turned over, or at least it goes to a replay.
Really?
Which, you know, replay, I've just moved down the road to the ground, so... Lovely.
Top man. So for me, I think I looked at they played in 2002, the FA Cup Vasa got to the semi-final, which they had their biggest home attendance, which was nearly 1,200, against AFC Sudbury.
Orient have had more than that.
A couple of times.
Yeah. But I think I could see it going to a draw, going to their place, and then we're all sitting there biting our nails. Because it's when you go to a non-league club, it's a leveller, yeah?
Yeah?
The facilities, the fans, the closest of the fans, the pitch, all those things that you get thrown at there, it's a leveller. And that does sort of worry me a little bit. But reality is, we've got to go for it. We've got to put our best foot forward. As John Sitton said, we've got to train for it, be up for it, and not take it lightly.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it will show a lot that's wrong with the club if we do lose that against a team down there. With all due respect, we should be, you know, smashing them if our squad's got their head screwed on. But I mean, personally, I love the FA Cup. I think everyone is down on it recent years, but I still feel like there's that magic, and even the first few rounds. And for a team like Orient, especially this season, where we've pretty much accepted that we're going to be probably bottom half, we might flirt with 10th or something like that if we're lucky, a cup run would just do wonders for the excitement around the club, obviously get a bit of money into the coffers for the budget in January or next year, and potentially to get a big club. Look at Colchester in the Carabao Cup this year, obviously away at United, beating Spurs at home. A couple of games like that, which would make history. You know, we still remember the Arsenal game and a few others in the past where we've taken Premier League scalps. So, yeah, a good run. I mean, you can't ask for much more than probably the lowest ranked team in the first round. So it gives us a good chance to get to the second round.
Julian, you mentioned that, you know, this was a level. Our form goes out the window. But, you know, because there is a few question marks over Cole, even how ridiculous it is, it has only been 3-4 games. But if they lose tonight, and then they carry that into the weekend, and we're talking about Maldon and Tiptree, who are on a great run. Let's forget the league at the minute. Does that sort of carry on? Because can Orient just switch off and go, oh, it's the FA Cup now. We know it's the magic. But do they come into this game, you know, a little bit like, maybe they're not so confident? How much is tonight's game a factor in the run they're on?
I think for me, it's the old analogy. When you say you're winning, you get the sort of that mentality, don't you? You've got winning mentality. And the problem is now we've got two games in to a losing mentality. Lost, drawn, lost. We're still playing tonight, so maybe a loss tonight. And then, yes, and then I think the pressure's on. And that's the bit, I think we talked to a few shows ago when Ross was in charge about the pressure. And you can tell it when you put his hand up and said, I'm resigning. Those three games after that, we were phenomenal.
Completely. Yeah? Different side,
different club, mentality. Everyone's happy, patting everyone on the back. And I think the pressure is going to be on because they're going to think, oh, it's a lower league club. They're coming to us. They're going to think it's their Wembley. Most of those players have never played at that level. So it's going to be a tough ask for the side if we and don't play well tonight. And it'd be great to speak to Brendan after the show and to see if we at least play well and put in a performance and then to go into Saturday with a stronger side to go and win. I think it'd be great to go in there and have a good performance and win. I don't care by how many, but win.
Well, it is a big game on the weekend. We've just heard the Orient's perspective on the Leighton Orient fan show. Well, I'm delighted to say Eliza Garty will be joining us next to give us the Maldon and Tiptree perspective.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Orient Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm still joined in the studio with the E10 Mess podcast. Julian Fernan, Adam Sampson, what a show we have had so far. We talked about the game on the weekend to Morecambe. John Sitton joined us, former Leighton Orient co-manager. What a joy and insight it was to have John on. Really good guy. Hopefully we get him on later on in the season. And it is, of course, FA Cup on the weekend, round one. O's delighted they are starting in round one and the history they have had so far in the FA Cup. Well, talking of history, another team made history this season because it is Maldon and Tiptree. For the first time in their history, they are in FA Cup round one. Their chairman, Ed Garty, said, we wanted a buy. Brilliant answer. I could straight into round two. More money. Maybe they could get the big tie that they wanted. Sunderland were in the draw, but it's Leighton Orient for them. It is a massive game. And I'm delighted to say Eliza Garty joins us now, daughter of Ed Garty, the chairman of Maldon Tiptree. Eliza is a super fan. Eliza, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's a real pleasure to have you on. Before we talk of the game this weekend, what an incredible season Maldon and Tiptree are having so far, aren't they?
Oh, it's just been amazing. But first of all, thank you very much for having me on the show.
No, thank you for joining us.
But yeah, honestly, the team has been outstanding and we couldn't ask for any more from the team. And I know I'm speaking on behalf of Dad as well. He's like ecstatic of how we are going. And it would be amazing if we can carry this on into the weekend and, you know, hope for a really good result. We've made history, so we're praying to make history again. So we'll see.
So obviously, first round of the FA Cup, anything can happen. We were just talking about that. Obviously, there is a big gap in terms of league status. But are you guys coming down thinking you can get a result?
I think with the FA Cup, you can never say never. You don't really know what could happen. But it is a big jump and it's a big ask and a big, you know, big expectation for the boys to go there and get a win. But I mean, if we keep playing the way we are, there's never saying never. But yeah, it's going to be a difficult game for sure.
I think for us as Orient fans, we're sitting there with everything crossed. So I hope we're talking positive as those fans on Sunday. But we wish you good luck after Sunday. The rest of the season, I think because you started so well and from us in this room looking from afar, what's the expectations around the club for the rest of the season?
I mean, it's going to be hard. And especially because we have done so well, we're going to have quite a build up of fixtures coming our way. So that's going to be quite a big challenge to be able to deal with that and have the boys have that much pressure on them. But, you know, if we can kind of keep the momentum going, and we're obviously, there's no doubt about it, of course, you're going to come win, lose, draw some games. But if the boys can carry on the mentality that they've got and, you know, keep playing how we are. You know, we are hoping for promotion at the end of it. I mean, we've been, well, my dad's had the club for 8 years now, and we've been pushing for promotion every year. So we've had three playoff finals, unfortunately lost. So we're hoping that this year could be the year. And like I say, I mean, at the minute, it's looking good, but it's a long season. So fingers crossed.
Eliza, obviously there's a lot of media attention on the game. The draw was done at Maldon and Tiptree. Mark Chapman and the BBC were there, and Orient were drawn out of the hat, and it was a really plum tie for Maldon and Tiptree. But, you know, the fans, the players speaking to your dad, can everyone get carried away and forget the game because they're already pinching themselves at the tie rather than concentrate on the on-pitch matters and the 90 minutes themselves?
I mean, I think there's a possibility. I think that everyone was just amazed that we even got the opportunity to have the draw at the club, and that night itself was amazing. I think everyone is really, really excited at the fact that we've made this club history, and that's going to happen on Sunday. But the boys behind the scenes have been working really, really hard, and that's a huge credit to the players and Wayne and Ames, all the management and everyone behind the scenes. So we are, you know, working extremely hard to, you know, make the most of Sunday. So even though everyone is really excited, they do still have their game heads on and they are hopefully ready for it.
And off the pitch, what is yourself and your dad sort of day looking like for Sunday? How are you sort of approaching the game?
Well, the day is going to start. I think all the boys and management and everyone kind of like down behind the scenes are going to be staying up there the night before, kind of going to have a nice little pre-match breakfast, I've heard, which would be nice for them.
We've sent you some lasagna for your hotel room for the night before. So,
sorry?
Don't worry. Silly joke. Oh. Crack on.
Yeah, so they're kind of going to be up there getting ready for the game. But me, myself, and my family, and we've got lots of people coming up, so hopefully it'll be a good number of people that we bring, and you guys too, I'm sure. And yeah, we're just going to make the most of it before the game. And after the game, we'll win or lose, it will be a brilliant day. So we're very excited.
So if the unfashionable does happen and you hold us to a draw at home, mm-hmm. Really important thing to think about the replay, what's your catering like?
Our catering?
Yeah, so we look to your record attendance is about 1,200 fans there. So it'd be a few of us, most of us are Essex-based, as you probably know. So more importantly, what is the burgers like at Maldon and Tiptree?
Well, unfortunately for me, I am a veggie, so I wouldn't know. But I can assure you that they would be very nice and up to standard. I'd make sure they were for your visit.
Eliza, obviously it's a big game on the weekend, and I know your focus will only be on Maldon and Tiptree, but have you paid much attention to Leighton Orient and how they're getting on this season? They've got a new manager themselves. They're struggling at the minute. They haven't got a win under new man Cole Fletcher. Do the players, your dad, do they see this as, you know, yeah, maybe we wanted a bigger tie, or, you know, it's a difficult game, but this is a great opportunity. Not only have we made history getting into round one, we could get to round two here.
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of, after the draw, did my little bit of research into it and just had a look at you guys and what's been happening. And, you know, even though you're struggling, there is still there's a big gap between the leagues. And, you know, if we do win, that'll be massive. I mean, the odds are, of course, for an Orient win. But if that does happen, God, I don't really know what we do with ourselves, I think. My dad was, you know, pretty much had tears when we got through to this round, so God knows what it would be like if we got through to the next.
Well, you maybe get another club we do on Love Sport. We'll have to get you back on for that, Eliza. But I have to put you on, give you the $1 million question. What's your score prediction for the weekend?
Well, of course I'm going to have to go for a Maldon win.
So
I'm just going to say a 2-1. 2-1 to Maldon.
2-1. You'll be absolutely delighted with that, as I'm sure the club will and your dad. Eliza, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time tonight. We know you're busy. We really appreciate you coming on. Eliza Garty there, super fan of Maldon and Tiptree. What is a massive game, FA Cup round one on the weekend? Just quickly, because we're talking about managers and we have covered the game, I want to get back to it and get your predictions. But news this week, Justin Edinburgh will be inducted into Newport County's Hall of Fame at their League 2 match against Orient, which is on the 29th of December. News this week, Julian, what did you make of that?
Very emotional. I think that just shows you the respect the Football Association across the UK have
around Justin, and he's a remarkable man. I think that there's a connection there, very much there, as much as it was to Orient in the short time he's with us. And yes, great. It's fantastic news.
I think also it'd be nice. I don't know what Orient are planning, but I'm sure we're putting something together.
A 2-2 loss, probably. Is what
yeah,
we're planning.
Maybe.
Julian.
A commemorative to Justin. I think actually a Hall of Fame is a good idea that I think be good at Orient. But yeah, I think obviously a lovely gesture, and obviously did well at Newport. I think he got them promoted at the same league he got us promoted out of. So yeah, touching tribute.
And just very quickly, Adam, a highlight for you that Julian asked the vegetarian what the burgers are.
I absolutely felt stupid.
Unbelievable.
Classic
Julian at his best. Let's quickly turn our attentions to how you think the game's going to play out, Julian. What do you predict on Sunday?
I don't care anymore. I give up. Listen, it's going to be a tough one. I don't think we're going to. They're going to roll over, and we're not going to sort of come out the traps 100 miles an hour. I still think we'll win. I think it'll be a little bit closer than expected. I'm just going to reverse what she said. 2-1 to the Orient, and burgers and cheese on the go.
2-1 to the Orient. Well, unbelievably, I thought Brighton had scored again.
So did I. So yeah. I looked up, but
oh,
he wasn't.
You confused me. Cause, yeah. Well, Brighton haven't scored. Orient haven't scored. It is still 1-0 to Brighton. Maybe it written, because if you're saying that Orient lose tonight, they get that first win under Cole Fletcher in the FA Cup, progress to round two, they'll definitely take that. Adam, you're expecting a win, or do these games, do they matter? How do you think the game will play out first?
Well, with Eliza's 2-1 prediction, I was surprised she thought we'd score a goal. but I think, I do think we'll end up running out winners. I think it would be close, and I think it'd be a nervy game. I think maybe it'd be draw at half time, but I think we'll run out 2-3-0 winners. It will be a whopper of a game.
Let's goal tonight. Julian, let's quickly talk about if the worst case scenario happens, because you mentioned the game's a level up. Maldon and Tiptree, you know, they win the game, they're through to round two. Does the pressure really pile on Cole there? It feels like I'm doing that tonight, and I'm not, but there is growing sense of concern. There is a worry amongst fans. It's on social media. We're talking about he's not won. He doesn't win tonight. Then he loses to Maldon, which can happen in a cup. What do we talk about next week?
I think we just have to focus on the lead. And that's as cliche as Cole. I think you just have to focus on the league, get stability back in the club, and get us just to get through this season, and we'll start again next season with or without him. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we'll be all right Sunday. And I think, as long as we're playing good tonight, I don't care if we lose. And that's the bit I'm disappointed. We're not playing brilliant football, and we're not strong. So if we get a report later on that we played a really good world tonight and then come roll on Sunday, and hopefully it's going to be a win for us.
Yeah, just very quickly before I bring Adam in, I think you're right. We haven't really spoke about that tonight. It's the fact that sometimes we know results in the league aren't always going to go your way. There's going to be a sticky patch. It's going to be a run when you don't win. But it's the performances that have been mine, because you can play well and still lose, and no one wants to lose, but you can take it. And that's been the worrying thing at the minute, hasn't it, Adam?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, the fans want to know the manager's on top of it. The performances are bad, but we want to know this is the guy that's going to change it around. And I don't think we've seen that. He famously now on Twitter, after he was asked why they were so flat in the first half, he said, "That's the million-dollar question." And it's sort of like, or he said that if we knew that, we'd be millionaires. And that's literally what you get paid for, Cole. Mm. Like, you can't be turning around and saying, "Well, we don't know."
That's because what we've brought you in for.
Yeah, that's what you're here for. And if you don't know, why are you here, sort of thing? So, different to you, I do think if we do lose on Sunday, it would be very, very difficult for him against a team a fair bit lower than us, the lowest ranked team in the cup. I do think that it would be a massive blow. Maybe not to get rid of him, but I think the board will start asking questions.
Well, many questions, not many answers. What a show it was tonight for you, the Leighton Orient Fan Show, joined by John Sitton, joined by Brendan, the knowledge pitcher, and Eliza Garty giving us the opposition view for Maldon and Tiptree. It is the FA Cup round one on the weekend. What a game that is. We'll be here at the same time next week, every Wednesday, 8 to 9, talking the O's and the O's only, to discuss that game and much, much more.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
The
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.